it's like, it's a gross play, but when you do it to the best guy on the team, like, it's so obvious. Like, you can't, come on. Like, you're not even too into the game. Like, the game was not even in that corner. So, yeah, I just think, like, it's the worst person. It's like slapping, it's like high-sticking McDavid for no reason and then skating away and being like, oh, what do you mean? It's fucking McDavid. You obviously meant to.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, that shit has to be taken out. It's too obvious. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Hoser's Panel. I'm one of your hosts, Tyler T. Croaks, and I'm here with my other boys, Taylor Finlay and Mike Potter, Pot Stickers himself. How we doing, fellas? Let's start with you, Tay. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, Ty? Love and life. Playoff hockey is insane. There's so much to talk about. I'm stoked to talk to you guys today.
Yeah, man, likewise. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good, dude. Last time we talked, the Avs were just about to get going for game one, and now they're already through. So, I mean, yeah. No complaints here.
Yeah, we don't got a time crunch for this pod, you know? Because they made that quick. It was done in less than a week. Jeez.
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about anything with that series because they had started last time we recorded, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we basically recorded right before game one, and game four ended yesterday, so really just all happened in 1 week. Same thing with Boston, basically. We had one game before we recorded, and now they're through too, so I think we'll jump into them two first, I think.
Yeah absolutely. Sure. Was anyone close on that Boston series for predictions?
Yeah, so Tay was the closest, Bruins in six. I had Bruins in seven, and Ty had Caps in five.
Fuck. All right, I'll take that on the chin. What the hell was I thinking? Yeah, man, they look good, dude. Holy hell. Boston, like, the acquisition of Taylor Hall just looks better and better every time you watch him. And, yeah, it was kind of brutal to watch him take down Char like that, but they deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest, like, question mark with the Bruins for a long time has always been their, like, secondary scoring. And they've definitely shorted up Taylor Hall, obviously, but just like giving David Krejci somebody to play with, and like even Jake DeBrusk, like he really stepped up too. So yeah, it was everybody kind of played their role this series. So
I think that's like, man, that power play is so scary. I want to say that's one of the scariest power plays in the playoffs right now, like top three. I find them so nasty. They're no look passing everything, like skip passing, like. Past it, does it off the boards, like, I've never seen. Backhands just, like, right across the whole thing. To Marshy's back door, like, it's crazy. Their chemistry is so fun to watch. And Hall just looks like he fits right in. He's playing, like, I haven't seen him play. Like, he's playing different to me.
He's playing on a good team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure,
He's got pieces around him. I think that helps.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Hey, you know what? I got a quick question here. What do you guys think is next for Zdeno Chara now? Is he on a 1 year or two?
He's on a 1 year.
He's on a 1 year, right? So yeah, I don't know if anyone takes him. You guys think someone takes him?
I think someone takes him. I think even if he's playing at like a below replacement level, I still think teams are like, oh, it's Chara, you know, he's a big body, he's got leadership, he's got the room, you know. I think all those tangible things that front offices love. I don't think he'll be too hard pressed for a job. It might be like a close to $1 million-ish probably, like maybe like closer to league minimum, because team's still got to look out for that flat cap, but I don't think he's got any problem finding a job somewhere.
Yeah, not next year. Maybe depending on like where he signs and how he does after that, it might be difficult, but yeah, I think he's kind of secured next year.
I can't see him really going to a contending team though. Like, you know what I mean? I think it'd be I don't know, some team in the middle of the group, or maybe even like the bottom of the NHL might, just because I just don't think a good team will really want him. I mean, a great locker room guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he signs with the bottom team. Like, I don't know if, like...
That's where I'm at, though.
I don't think he's in any rush, so I don't really see him being like, you know what, let's go to a Kings team, let's say. But I could see him, like, just holding out, you know, like, I don't think he has any problem in waiting until, like, say, middle of November and a team gets a couple injuries. Like, hey, we need to bring in somebody. Hey, look at Chara's available, you know, kind of thing. So,
yeah,
I think he'll wait for what something that he wants, and then if nothing comes, then
yeah, someone like Ekblad goes down again, and you got Chara sitting in the back.
As a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, I think I'd rather have Chara over like a Luke Shen
Fair. Yeah.
No, fair enough. He might have some fits, and like I bet some GMs just would love it. Like some GMs might just be like, "Holy shit, yeah." Like that'd be so good for the team. I feel like it'd be sweet somewhere like Minnesota, like somewhere like up and coming. But I don't know if they got. They could. I don't know.
The leadership aspect is like I think his biggest.
Probably.
His biggest contribution to the table. So, like, if somebody's going to sign him, like, yeah, Ty, I think you're bang on there. Like, no contender really needs that. I mean, maybe the Avs, but, like, not really.
No,
And so, yeah, you're looking at these younger teams that are, like, trying to get there and, like, don't really have, like, a ton of leadership. That being said, the Wild definitely have a ton of leadership, so.
Yeah.
Tough one. No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the leader of the Caps is also coming up for renewal this year. Ovi's in his last year of this deal. I don't think many people see him going anywhere else. I think
I'd be shocked.
Yeah, if you probably had to break it down, it's probably like 97% he returns to the Caps, 2.5% chance he goes to Russia, and then a 0.5% chance that he goes somewhere else in the NHL.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I can't see Ovi on a different team.
No, me neither, but like I don't think it was always... sunshine and rainbows in Capsland?
No, I don't think so either.
And I think, like, I remember him getting benched by, which coach was that? It was working, too.
Trotz?
They benched him, and they were, like, getting game-time goals with him on the bench with an empty net and stuff. Like and it was, like, rattling him, but that's what it was for, and it would lit the fire. So I don't know. I don't know. I think I could see him going to another team, but I think it's very unlikely as well. But I think it could happen because there's been a lot. The mission was to get a cup there, I think, and I think he did that. So I could see him wanting to go somewhere else, like, I want to win kind of thing. I could see that move.
The only way I'd see him going to another team is if they offered him, like, substantially more than Washington's willing to offer him.
Yeah.
Like, money-wise.
You think that could happen? I guess probably he's pretty old. But I mean, he's a Mexican.
I think like, the Caps are content offering him basically what he's making now, maybe more. Maybe like $1 million more. He's making nine now. Nine and a half,
yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So and I could see
some
him.
Weird numbers, yeah.
Yeah. I could see him making like 10 and sign for another 8 years with the Caps and the Caps being completely fine with that because he is their like go to. He's their guy that got him the cup. Like he's their leader, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, if somebody with a lot of cap space came out and was like, hey, we'll give you 12 for the next 7 years or whatever, I could also see that happening.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm curious to see how long of a deal he signs because, like,
same,
yeah,
he's 35. I don't know when his birthday is, so I don't know if he's turning 36. Oh, he turns 36 basically at spring training, Jesus Christ, training camp. And so he's gonna be 36. So I don't know, like, I don't think teams want to sign up for that long. I think probably Sweetsaw to be 2-3 years. Give him a chance at Gretzky, and then I think he'll probably be the one evaluating if he's going to continue in the NHL or go home. But, I mean, they could probably just extend his current deal and say, okay, yeah, we'll just keep it giving you the same amount 2 more years or whatever.
I hope they do.
I don't think there's going to be too much extension issues with that team. They don't have anybody else coming up for renewal really at all this year, and they have basically just his contract in cap space. So, there's no real problems in Capitals land, I think, with getting Ovechkin. I don't think he'll go somewhere else for an extra $500,000.
And you know, wherever he does end up going, he's got to be thinking about, like, I mean, what's the last thing he needs to check off before he's out of this career, and that's that scoring title. So wherever he goes, it's somewhere he can score, I think. And I think he can do it there, so why leave?
But yeah, exactly. I think he's got a great fit there with him and Backstrom, with Backstrom being locked in for as long as he is. He can't lose that, so I think Washington's his place.
Totally. There's been a lot of talk too about Kuznetsov moving. If that happens too, like, they'll definitely look to keep Ovi around.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, there was also the other series that ended, Colorado sweeping the Blues. It's hard to say, like, if the Avs won that or the Blues, like, just didn't have enough. I think it was a bit of everything, but the Avs look so good. I know last week when we recorded, I said I didn't want to face St. Louis because I was afraid of what the Blues can bring. And, man, they did not bring a ton of anything, really.
They scared you that one game a little, eh? You're hitting another level of a wall when you hit this Colorado team. We just expected them to try, do their best, hold their own. I didn't expect much, dude. I think I predicted a sweep. Ugh.
You did, yeah. Abs in four. I had abs in five, and Taylor had abs in seven.
Yeah.
But no, this team, dude, I playoff Mac too, and it's been so long. I wasn't sure if I was gonna see McKinnon do what he did last year. I wasn't sure if I'd see it exactly or it to another level, but there it is. He's playoff Mac, man. He's tough to beat, tough to shut down. And when the pieces around him are shining, it's laughable. It's how are you gonna beat him? Not to mention the guy they need probably the most or second most. Grubauer is just playing great. Very confident. Yeah. And he's evolved, man. That guy has come so far, and he plays playoff ready. It's really cool to see.
Biggest thing there is he's healthy.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's locked in. He's showing up to basically everybody who doubted him at the beginning of the year that he is the guy. Be interesting to see what he gets as a contract in this offseason, but we'll get to that when that comes a bit more closer to time.
Yeah.
But the Avs, they had a little bit of controversy still. Not a stranger to playoff suspension. Nazem Kadri gets 8 games for a high hit on Justin Falk. Crazy play. I don't know if he gets 8 games. That's 8 playoff games is a lot more than 8 games.
Yeah.
And I understand Kadri just filed for an appeal yesterday. I don't know. I get it. I get the 8 games. Even if he's not essentially a repeat offender because he's got suspended more than 18 months ago.
Yeah.
I can see it. It was a bad hit.
At some point, as a coach or a general manager or just a team in general, when you're looking at Nazem Kadri and you're like, okay, this guy's a great fit. Obviously, in the trade with Toronto, they brought him over for a reason. They like his style of play or whatever. At what point do you decide to stop playing him in the playoffs, man? It seems like this guy cannot play a playoff game without losing his cool or without doing something stupid.
And it sucks because last year he was so good in the playoffs. He was great. Perfect 2C fit. And I think...
Reborn, yeah.
I think it's really going to hurt them when they play Vegas or... the off chance Minnesota comes back, but I think they need him in the lineup. So it sucks that he got 8 games, and it sucks that he took this brutal approach on a hit where he was a little bit agitated because he's in a slow little slump here.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I hope the suspension comes down to a couple, maybe 5 or 6, I'm hoping. Cause player safety hasn't been the greatest, burden of consistency lately.
No.
Yeah. And
shout out Peros. Shout out Rangers. We love you.
Because we got another suspension this week as well in the last couple days. So
Sussy City.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a bad hit. I see the 8 games, but 8 seems like bonkers. We ran a poll on Twitter. It was average of 3 to 6 games. I would like it to see come down to 4, because then he only misses 2 games because he's already missed 2.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Blues played decently well without him in there, and the Avs kind of lost that second center approach because they don't really have their 3 center. Their 3C is all right, but not sustainable as a 2C, especially against a team like Vegas when they get there.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how much they change. But yeah, Kadri doing almost Kadri things.
He comes in straight Dion Phaneuf in the early 2000s, he's the guy before he has the pass to him, and he goes right for him, and as soon as he sees the puck going to him, he just turns on the jets.
Yeah.
And then he hits him up front and up and too far forward, sorry. He gets a lot ahead. And man, it's really hard to see Falk like that. That's a nasty look when he's on the ground. Just him breathing like that. He looked like he was out for a sec there.
It did, straight out. He probably was.
The Paul Kariya. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's the way it looks. And, I mean, Kadri doesn't look too, too remorseful after, or the whole time he's in the box kind of whining. And like, we know he's done stuff like this before. We know he's like, he lets the temper go. He's done it before. We've seen it, and it doesn't really take much. It's kind of dangerous. So I mean, consistency, man. Could have done this to Tom Wilson and sent a fucking message. Didn't need to for them to lose, but I don't know. I don't really get them giving him 8 either, because it's like, I don't know.
It's such a drastic difference, and such a like. Yeah. It's basically like the NHL making their own makeup call.
Thanks. Yeah, 100%. That's a good way to put it.
It was mind-boggling when I saw 8. I was like, holy shit, like that's basically equivalent to like a, I don't know, 16-game regular season suspension.
We're gonna get the hot mic on Peros when he's like, well, I want to give him a couple fucking games.
Yeah, yeah.
Get him fired like the other guy.
I wanted to get a suspension out there quick, you know.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, back to the Blues, like, I think the most competitiveness they showed in the series was after the final horn. Game 1, they get in this crazy scrum. Bennington comes flying down the ice to try and fight Grubauer. Has nobody to back him off, so he gets a ref to get in there so he doesn't have to get beat to a pulp. And then I think it was after, like, Game 2 or Game 3, one of the Avs players was trying to grab the puck after the whistle. Or after the horn, and like, I think it was Steve Santini, like, wouldn't give it to him. It's like, dude, I'm pretty sure it was Game 3, because I think they were going down 3-0. And I was like, dude, like, come on. Like, ooh.
Yeah. It's a puck.
It's a puck, and you're down 3-0.
You just lost the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look like they got frustrated, which is understandable, but it's like so classic Bennington now. Like, we're just seeing it more and more to do this whiny shit, and like this tough guy puff your chest out, and then all the boys gonna come save your ass like every time, and you never do anything. But I don't know, and I mean, they're just not there. He could be a piece of, or was a piece for winning team, but he's done it. But I don't know.
Yeah, he's
got mature.
I was talking to this about, but just because you have playoff success does not mean you're a good goaltender.
No.
And vice versa. Just because you're a good goaltender does not mean you're going to have playoff success. And you see it so much in the NHL. Look at Matt Murray. Look at Jordan Binnington. Like, every year it seems like a hot goalie kind of catches fire. And really, they've been like, they come out of nowhere. And they catch fire for the year. And then they sign $6 million contracts for the next 6 years and are absolute dog shit. So, sorry, St. Louis fans, you're not going to like that one in about a year from now.
Well, the friggin' Blues fan, I couldn't believe it. I don't know if it's like a tradition or something, but it was 3-0 the series. Blues were down 1, 10 minutes to go in the third period. The Blues weren't doing anything. They had, I think, probably 12 shots at the time. And the Blues fans are fucking singing Country Roads in the stands.
No way.
And I was like, you want to pump your boys up, or like...
Yeah.
Country Roads. That's weird. Home. It's like, are you like serenading them to go to sleep? Because like, I think they already are there. Like, it was so weird. And I was like, the Avs fans just chant Blues suck. And it's like, yeah. All right. Yeah, it was a pretty wild series. The one thing I loved was like, Taze and Makar play on the same pairing usually, and they skate the exact same. They skate the same. They puck handled the puck the same. The only difference is one's a lefty and one's a righty. And I was watching Game 4, and I turn over to my dad, and I'm like I can't tell the difference between Taze and Makar. They look the exact same. Like, there's no difference, really. And then maybe 30 seconds later, Taze, like, pinches in, grabs the puck, and goes to the net. And the guy's like, oh, Makar pinches in. And it's like, nope, that's not Makar, but... Thanks for relaying my point, commentator, because we're on the same wavelength.
Taves was the pickup this year, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Man. 2 seconds from the Islanders, and he's nuts. He's so good.
Were you sold right away, or was it like an overtime thing? You're like, holy shit!
No, right away.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. He plays. Remember. He plays so well. It's awesome.
I was surprised to see him so high in the lineup, and then I was like, they do play great together. And man, Makar had such a series. Like, so many times, like, he works that point so nicely, man. He skates so well. Like, Man, when he duped, was it Bozak?
Yeah, game one.
Like, he like faked he was going left and like dipsy doodled him. The guy does the like the absolute spin out and then he just like rips it shelf. Holy fuck, that kid's electric. Yeah, they are fun to watch, dude. And they're gonna be so hard to beat. Who are they against next?
It'd be Vegas if they win.
Right, Vegas, Minnesota. Pardon me.
Oh, I just saw the big dogs came to play that series.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
They all showed up. For fucking Colorado, not for St. Louis.
But, yeah, man. McKinnon looks ready. They all look ready. Next test would be, if the next test is Vegas, though, like, that's a fucking test. We'll see. And then they'll play it. And then they got a nice, safe game series against the Canadians after that. So just got to get to there.
Yeah. I think we watched game one together, right?
All three of us? We did, yeah.
We're buzzing right after the pod.
Man, Gabe Landeskog really set the tone for that series with Braden Shen came in and hit who was it? Rantanen, I think.
Yeah.
Like basically knee on knee. And Landy had none of it and went right after him and really set the tone. Like that was kind of the deciding factor. Like you're not going to fucking push us around this series. Like we're going to hit you back with everything we got, and they kind of just took over from there.
Shen threw one punch for every Blues win they got that series.
So zero punches.
Zero is punches. That what you're saying? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Landy fucking clobbered him.
But yeah, man. Anyways. What a moment that was, dude. To see him chase him like that, too. Like it's funny to see all the play. Like, you see the hit, and then kind of when the broadcast catches up to the play. Like, it's cool to see them both do it, too. Like, Bozak. Shen, didn't shy from the fight at all. He knew he had to answer. Like, he knew he had to be in that fight. And they both, like, backward sprinted from these refs, like, to get a piece of each other. And it was wicked to see, man. It was wicked to see Landy stand up like that. And what a series, dude. His deflections, his passing, this guy's dialed in as well. Yeah. These guys look good.
I got two stats before we move to the next series. One, was the second Avs player to get a Gordie Howe hat trick in the playoffs.
Oh, that's right. The Gordie for game one. Go ahead.
And the third sweep in Avalanche history. The other two times coming in 96 and 2001. Both times they won the cup that year. Dirty so maybe a 3-for-3. We'll see.
Dirty Hopefully stats. Not because go Tampa. But anyways.
Sure. I think the biggest news this week, at least on the ice and everything, was John Tavares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Takes just an unlucky play, really. He gets hit.
Yeah.
He's falling down. Corey Perry is just coming out of the zone trying to get in the back check. And just brutally timed, his knee catches Tavares' chin. Tavares' head just snaps back, and he's instantly just out. And it was a brutal scene, especially when he like sits up on his knees and the trainer's like talking to him and he just collapses backwards. I think that was probably like the scariest part. Cause at that point you're just like, okay, like something is a lot worse than just a normal head injury.
Yeah.
Gets stretchered off the ice, gives the old thumbs up to the barn. I think that was probably mostly reassuring to the players that he's going to be not horribly, horribly injured. And
it's crazy though, man, because like even if you got like a brain bleed or even if you're like unconscious but like semi-conscious or whatever, like it's so easy to throw that thumbs up and nobody really knows, right? Like you have no exactly. idea. So it's scary for sure. Super scary moment. I know there's been a couple updates about his health and like he's all right. I think he's awake and conscious and
No like structural that, so. Brain, head, neck injury, anything like that. I think he got a concussion and he somehow hurt his leg on the play. So he's out for at least like 2 to 3 weeks, but recovery times are always varied.
Yeah, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't want him to rush back from this because you never know, especially head problems. Like he might feel fine the next few days and then in 5 days it hits him. So,
this couldn't have happened to a worse person. I really like on this team. I really believe that. I think this guy is like, he's a captain. He's a new captain. He's like, this guy grew up a Leafs fan, you know, with that picture when he came to the team of him sleeping in his decked out bed in his pajamas and all that. That's all I could think of when I saw him just brutalized in his home sweater like that. I feel like it's game one, man. Like 10 minutes in, this was brutal, and like it's just. I mean, and of course they go on to lose that game, and like I couldn't blame them either. That's really hard to see, and like I said, that's a true Maple Leaf right there. Like that guy's been a Maple Leaf his whole life. It was hard for me to watch that. That sucked. Yeah.
I wonder, it makes me think, like, first of all, they go on and lose game one. Obviously, they're, like, pretty shaken up. Like, it's a pretty shitty situation. Your captain's down. Like, biggest leader on your team kind of goes down. It's tough to kind of bounce back from that, right? Yeah, totally. So I think there was a little bit of an excuse there for why they lose game one. Obviously, come back with a big win game two. It'll be interesting to see them kind of push through. And if it lights a fire under them and they go on and like win this series, win the next series for Tavares, like that's what fucking does it for teams, right? Like that's what brings teams together is the adversity, like of losing somebody that you like love and is a diehard. Like, you know, like I think about Tampa last year, like Stamkos was there the whole time. He was around the locker room the whole time. He played like 4 minutes in one Dallas game. And that game was over before it even started because it was just so electric that he was back. Everybody's so happy. And then they went on and they won it for him, even though he couldn't continue to play. And that just kind of is exactly what the Leafs need to harness, is that energy to like, let's fucking do it for Johnny T, because like that he deserves it. And we got to get him this cup.
100%. Yeah. Well put.
Thank you.
Also, yeah, I wanted to point out, I noticed this right away when I was watching it too, like all the veteran players, namely Spezza, but Thornton too, like immediately go and didn't leave Johnny T's side like the entire time. No. Like sorry, go ahead.
You can tell he's super respected.
Oh yeah, totally. And I mean like, it's just like, of course, you know, it's those two vets that are like right there the whole time. And it just shows a lot. This locker room is deep. And like, yeah, I thought about it right away. This looks like it shook up everybody. It shook up me. And then I was like, so game one, a bit of a write-off. And honestly, they barely lost it. A crazy, crazy shorthanded goal. There's two ways it goes. You either turtle or you rally around this. And you can't not rally behind this guy. He really, I think, is the heart and soul of this team.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went there with a real purpose, and he went there on a real mission, and like this was the year for him so far. And so, yeah, like the team's playing for totally something else now. Way more than Leafs Nation. Anyway, yeah, that was crazy, and we'll see where it goes from there. But
yeah, switching to the Habs, like we talked before last episode of how they weren't going to play their young guys and how much of a mistake it was. And there's some great tweets like that the Canadians are sitting their guys for leadership where Colorado is starting Alex Newhook, even though they're a cup contending team and all that, all these great things. But it looks like Caulfield will make his debut tonight, game three. Kotkaniemi got into the lineup for game two, scored a goal, shocker. I want to get excited for Caulfield's debut. I feel like he's playing and he's going to play 6.5 minutes. And I feel like I hope to be wrong about this because I want to see him like play because he's one of their best players. Like I hate this experience thing. Like, yes, experience can help in some contests, but this dude is a scorer. He's scored his entire life, no matter where he plays. He puts up incredible numbers in the NCAA. Montreal has a scoring problem and they put one of their best scorers on the bench. So yeah, I hope he does great. I hope he actually gets a chance. And I'm excited to see him play.
Playoff debut tonight, no?
Yeah, yep.
I believe in 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes or so. Yeah, man. Exciting. And I'm glad they're putting him in. I was going to say, like, I don't know, who's get like, you're going to lose your job if you don't play that kid, man. It's a no-brainer.
Right, like, what happened? Like, what's the worst thing that happens? Like, obviously, like, a defensive zone turnover, but, like, you just look in last game, they pulled their goalie with 5.5 minutes to go because they're down 4-1. It's like, you don't think Cole Caulfield like could have been on the ice for you at that time? Probably not going to win you the game, but at least he could get something.
Yeah.
You know, provide something to help your team because they've got, what, 3 goals? I can't remember the game one score, but
2-1.
2-1, so they have 3 goals. Like, do you need to play this dude? Like, obviously, the Leafs aren't this powerhouse defensive team. They're solid defensively, but they're not like a defensive juggernaut. So put in the dude that can score.
Yeah. And goaltending, too, has kind of been suspect. I mean, Jack Campbell's all right, but I can light him up easily.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a big head scratcher for sure.
But the Leafs' win in game 2 was their first one against Montreal in the playoffs since 1967.
They won the cup. That's.
It's crazy how like little these two teams have played each other in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like I remember, I remember like as a kid seeing Leafs Habs playoff games, but I guess they must have just been like regular season games on Saturday nights.
Yeah.
Because like, man, we need to get into this first, but we need fans in the Canadian ranks.
Oh yeah. Who got some? Didn't somebody get some?
No, 2,500. Montreal gets some for game 6 if they get there for 2,500.
There's but not like, a fucking chance. Sorry, go ahead.
Watching all these games at like 4 o'clock or like afternoon games, like 12,000 fans, 8,000 fans, and then you like watch a Canada game, and I'm like, this just sucks.
It's brutal.
Like it's almost like hard to watch. Like we've only had fans back for like essentially 3 or 4 weeks. Some teams have had fans, but I mean nothing crazy to write home about, but like it's just such a different product and such a different atmosphere when there's no fans, and it's just
you need them. Go ahead.
You need them.
Yeah, you do need them, and it's not horrible in Winnipeg. Like when they're in Winnipeg, it actually looks pretty good, because every year it's the whiteout and all that, and they've like white, like every like seat is white. They've kind of done a decent job there, but
pretty homey.
Like, it's just the atmosphere, man. Like the look is fine, but the atmosphere is just not there. And like that's kind of the whole point of like home ice advantage. Like there's no point to it if you don't have fans there. So
do you guys have anything else on this series? Cause I think we can switch to the other Canada one and
bring it. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
No.
Cause like the game Sunday night between Winnipeg and Edmonton was a crazy game. Edmonton goes up 2-0. They go up 4-1 as well. Winnipeg storms back with 2 goals in 16 seconds, 3 goals in 3 minutes to tie at 4-4. They win it in overtime to go up 3-0, and there's no fans in the building. And every single post-game interview, every Jets player at least said 3 times they wish fans were in the building for that game.
Yeah. Could you imagine?
It would have been nuts.
Like, the series would be over.
Yeah, Jets up 2-0, going back home. They have, let's say 5,000 fans. Like, that place is going to sound electric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they would have so much momentum going into game 4, too. Like, it would be insane.
Yeah, the barn, like, for pregame skates would be full right now.
Yeah.
And it's just, what was I going to say?
Sorry, just gonna say they help elevate the game to another level, and they like do. playoff absolutely, and playoff hockey, you see it any and all levels of hockey. If you got fans and you know mom in the stands, mom not in the stands, you're playing different every time, right? It's true, dead on, and you really see it like when I'm watching these Nashville Carolina games, I can't believe how fucking crazy those barns are. Like,
yeah,
and same with the Florida one. I was saying that last week, like. Those ones too. I'm like mind boggled at how fucking crazy it looks. And like I can't remember. Like I literally can't remember what it was like to watch hockey like that, because it's been that long. And it's like it's totally brought a new. I wasn't too into that series, that Nashville one. And I can't get enough now. Like I think I can't look away. They're going double OT. We'll get more to that later. But dude, it's so loud. And yeah, you look at the Canada games and you're like, They are so robbed. And as soon as whoever gets out of that, like as soon as they get to an arena with a full crowd, like it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
They're probably going to play like another level that we haven't seen yet because they haven't had fans.
But speaking of that whiteout, it probably took me like 5 minutes to get my eyes adjusted because there was so much white on the screen. And I was like, like give me a second. Let me put my sunglasses on. And like the only thing that wasn't white in that entire arena was the Jets, because they're wearing their blues. Like the ice is white, the boards are white, the fucking benches are white, the seats are white, the advertisements in the seats are white. And I was like, Jesus Christ! Like,
the Oilers jerseys were white.
Turn it down, and Oilers jerseys are white. And it's like, holy crap! But yeah, at least they did something for it. But yeah, they need fans, and I understand why they don't have fans. But like,
yeah, it is getting pretty weird though to see how different our continent is everywhere. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to me. Like, it's been like absolute go wild in the other, like, in Florida and all, and tons of places, Texas. Like, everyone just opens up, and fucking gamer. And here it's like, we're like really stingy about it, which I get, but it's like, come on. Like, I'm watching everybody have fun, like a stone's throw away. Can you just, anyway. Okay, would you want to talk about McDavid for a sec? He looks happy.
Yeah.
I mean, they love it. They don't do great in game one. They both get, him and Draisaitl both get held pointless. And I mean, it's going to happen some games. Like, they didn't look horrible. They just didn't create too many high danger chances. I mean, they look great in game three. They both had 3 points. Like, I mean, if you're asking for more than them, and then it's the team's problem, right? Like, yes, you can ask for 5 points, but like, if they really, if you really need to rely on them getting 5 points every night to have a successful team, your team sucks.
Yeah. Definitely. You can't rely on the two main guys to do that for you.
And I mean, like, it's textbook too. I mean, you got Connor Hellebuck doing what he does. Like, he's their best player. He's being amazing and stopping McDavid. And then, like, I want to credit Scheifele so much. That guy is such a known, like, studier of hockey. His hockey IQ is insane. He's always watching it, always learning about it. Guy's a fucking beauty. And, like, the way he shuts down those players, like, the way he was harassing McDavid all night, all over him, all over his hands, like, he's such a pest. And he was even getting to him. McDavid gave him a couple slashes, like, turned off the puck a couple of times even. Like, as the series goes on and he continues to lose, I see McDavid getting more and more chapped, and Scheifele's there nipping at his heels the whole time. Like, that guy knows what to do because he's a smart, smart hockey player.
Yeah.
Very deep.
Yeah, like, just talking about the series in general, in the 104 years of history in the NHL, it's been around, only 4 teams have completed the reverse sweep. And come back and win four in a row to, like, win the series. So it was the 1942 Leafs, 1975 Isles, 2010 Flyers, and the 2014 Kings. So the Oilers got a big task on their hand if they want to win the series. I honestly don't think that they can. I don't see it happening. There's no way they can go 4 games against the Winnipeg Jets and honestly Connor Hellebuck and not have Hellebuck steal a game.
It's my thoughts exactly. I don't see Hellebuck not being able to steal one game in 4 straight.
Yeah.
And that means that the Oilers have to be incredible just to get to that point. And I'm like, I don't see it. Mike Smith has not looked great. He looks lost in his net. Anytime a goal gets in from like the point on these like weird bounces, he's playing on the goal line.
Yeah, man. Dude, overtime goal was so bad.
Oh my god.
He was literally in the middle of his, like, he was in the net.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Oilers?
I was like, are you?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of Stastny's.
Because Stastny had one. Yeah, I guess they're both gross.
They were horrible.
At least that one was a fucking snipe.
That one last. Yeah. Yeah, but like, that stunner. No, is it Morrissey's I'm thinking of? Morrissey's was disgusting too. Like,
oh, that was the 4-4 goal. That was the tie.
Oh, was it? Still, that was fucking nasty. Like, he holds up, like, it's a good look at him, and then he just like throws it in like late glove, and he's just like,
he's
whole team just looks shot after that. Go ahead.
Sorry, he's like 6'4", 6'5", or something stupid like that. He's playing like he's like 5'10". He's like this, playing down in the middle of his crease. Like, if he challenged a little bit, he would just have to stand there, and it would hit him every single time.
Oh, I think Stastny's Stastny's game winner. His glove was like behind the post when it went in. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that happened. Like that should not be going in. At least. Yeah, like, Ehlers comes back for game 3. Like, what a freaking rejuvenation that is for the Jets. They go up 2-0, and they get Nick Ehlers, like, arguably the best winger in Canada on a Canadian team. Yeah. And, I mean, he showed why. Two goals. Like, the OT winner was just a
snipe.
Crazy pullback. Like, the puck was in a crowd, so I understand Mike Smith not seeing the beginning, and then he just pulls it to change the angle and goes shelf, and he's just...
The pipe in, wasn't
he's electric,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just electric going back to Hellebuck, and Hellebuck's the first guy they hug.
Classic. Yeah, the boys jumping on him, and then even the call was great too. Just like screaming, yeah. And as it cuts to him, all the boys are just like, you could just see how excited they were. Like for no fans, that was a great moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could feel that one.
I got just not. I mean, it's a little bit of a question, maybe stipulation. I'm not sure. We'll see what it looks like, but. Connor McDavid, do we think he stays in Edmonton? If not, what do you think? Like, what?
How many years on his deal?
He's probably got 6 left, probably.
Yeah, quite a few, hey? Yeah. Where'd he go?
I don't know if it's like McDavid's thing to ask out. Like that's the only like thing that's sticking in my mind. It's like I don't see that as his character. He'd be the type of person to do it. Not saying it's wrong to do that, but I'm just saying I think it's just how he's wired.
Right, he's loyal.
Yeah, I don't know if he does it.
But
I think he deserves a fucking lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think that like, all this trending, like there's so much going around on like Twitter and social media and stuff about like free McDavid or get him out of Edmonton or whatever, right? We participated in that with Hoser's panel Twitter. Do you think that's going to, like, not, like, play into it, but definitely play into it? Like, do you think it's going to have an effect? I was going to say not, like, force the GM to move him, but, like, play into it. Like, it causes an uproar, right? Like,
I don't know. Well, it should be, like, going down 3-0 in round one should be a huge eye-opener to Ken Holland that you have the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Another top superstar, and you have shit all for a team.
Yep.
Honestly, man, team's not half bad. It's the goaltending.
You really
need get something. A save here and there. They would be doing much.
They'd have a chance. There. They'd have a fucking chance.
I mean, they also signed Zach Cassian to like $4 million a year because he had one decent year with Connor McDavid, and that's been a train wreck. I mean,
I was saying it earlier. I think he's like getting totally wasted, and that
100% he is.
It's insane. It's just insane. Like, if you just shuffled, like, almost, you know, if there's a couple untouchables on that team, they're extremely obvious, and you shuffle, like, just random other players that would fit in, like, any, like, it's arguable that it would just work. Like, anything's pretty much better than what you got when it, like, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good anywhere. There isn't chemistry. It's all McDavid and Draisaitl, and everybody knows that. There's no one to break out. There's no one, like, Toivonen, maybe. Like, there's no one moving up. That's going to help. And they'd have no net. Like, they have no net. You need one. Toronto was nobody till they got a netminder. Like, that's just... And no matter who they had in front of them, pretty much. And they had some good big names for a long time. So, yeah, they need a goddamn goalie. It is not fair to them. And I think he serves his contract before he leaves. Like, I think he's way more of that. I could way... Like, I see him, like, I did my deal. I'm going to go try to win somewhere else. I think that's, like, more fair than... I think that's more his style than... Then no, I can't do this. Like trade me, and he might get to that point because I think it's way more. I think it's way more healthy to do that than to fucking hold on to like fucking Eichel has to and shit. Like, I don't want to see that happen to a superstar. It's fucking brutal. So I'd rather if you're not happy, you just fucking say it. And I could see him not being happy there. So I could kind of see it both ways.
He has 5 years left, $12.5 million.
Oh.
After next year. A full no move clause kicks in. Now, obviously, he can waive it. It's up to him. But I would say, like, yeah, if he's gonna move before this contract's done, it's gonna be next year or next off season.
I think in terms of like the no move, I think he's already got a no move right now. Like, I don't think Edmonton trades him without McDavid coming to him and saying he wants a trade.
Yeah.
So it'd be tough.
Well, yeah, definitely.
I think they would be.
If Gretzky can get traded, anyone can get traded. And if it was the Oilers twice, I wouldn't be surprised, dog.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised. Not However, so like true. Fair points are on the board. Like, you are still killing it. I don't think they'd move him. But then again, when I play it over my head a bunch of times, I'm like, oh, the Oilers have done this before, man. I remember reading about hockey as a kid, and I was like, oh, they traded him? I was like, what? And then you watch the press, and you're like, He's just in tears and shit. I don't know. They've done it before. That was pretty savage.
Yeah.
There's a reason they don't have playoff success. Like, McDavid and Draisaitl have to be on 145% every game for them to have a chance. And they have no depth. They can't get anything. If a team puts in all their assets to shut those two dudes down to even 2 points a game, they have to like their chances. Because everything else, like, they scored an even strength and a power play goal every night. Great, we won 4-3. You know, like, yeah, I don't like the construction of this Oilers team. I don't see any positives coming out of it. And it when a team gets so much time to prep for the Oilers and prep for McDavid and Draisaitl, they can really kind of crack down on the issues and figure out what exactly they need to do to stop it. And it just shows the holes of the Oilers so much worse.
Yep.
You think they have a look at Eichel? Random one, sorry.
I mean,
was it even possible? I know they'd be very front loaded.
They don't have anybody other than McDavid or Draisaitl to do like
to really to sweeten it.
Yeah.
My thought was the Rangers go after McDavid rather than Eichel.
Oh, that'd Rangers, be so sick.
They want a number one center, right? And who's better than Connor McDavid? Nobody. Yeah. So like why go after Eichel if you could go after McDavid?
Yeah.
And it's a long shot, but they have the pieces to make it work.
And at least
trade like 35 prospects.
There's no real. There's a little bit of question with Eichel. There's no questions with McDavid.
True. Yeah. Very, very true. Very, very true.
If you're giving up the freaking world for one guy, why not give up the world and a first for, you know, for McDavid?
100%. Nailed it.
Would you trade Lafreniere for McDavid?
Not like as Oilers.
In a package?
Oh. Depends on the package, but yes.
Yeah, I think so.
100%.
Yeah. I think, honestly, anybody's movable in that. Like, the Rangers really don't have to hold on to anybody. Maybe Panarin, but, like, really anybody else could. And maybe Fox, I would say.
You kind of?
Yeah.
You kind of have to have.
Panarin and Fox would be the two guys I wouldn't move. And I don't think the Oilers would be too interested in Panarin. Fox, definitely. Yeah. But I don't think Panarin would be, like, the, ooh, let's get him back kind of thing.
You kind of have to have.
Fucking Georgiev and anyways, go ahead, Ty. Sorry.
I was just gonna say you have to have like a set on you to make that deal though. Like that is a you know, like that's such a trust yourself. And you're trusting McDavid, which is like easy to do, but that's ballsy, man. Like that
I think
you could look
more ballsy to trade McDavid.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Like
agreed.
As the Oilers GM, like as if you were Ken Holland, it'd be way more ballsy to like trade him for a bunch of pieces back rather than take him in for a bunch of pieces that could or could not pan out.
That trade is fucked too, because you could put anything pretty much down on paper and I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like anyone can get traded for him, and it's like really.
And there's a reason why the Rangers are the team that everybody comes up with, is because they have so many young guys, so many prospects, and like they
too
just,
much.
Exactly.
Sort of. Yeah.
Like they could probably go
surplus.
You're probably looking at the next two firsts, Lafreniere. And I don't know, maybe Keandre Miller and probably another piece.
And they're fine.
And
Braden Schneider.
Yeah.
And they're fine. And they have like three defenseman prospects still coming up. They have a full like top six defenseman that are like solid top six forward. That's amazing. Second line center and Mika Zibanejad, who is just unreal. Yeah. Be scary.
Actually, Zibanejad might have to be included in that deal just for cap problems.
Yeah.
It might have to be like, let's say that. Would you do like if you're the Oilers, Lafreniere, Miller, Zibanejad, two firsts, and say like another B level defensive prospect?
Yes. I would. If I was the Oilers, I would.
For McDavid?
Yeah. It's not working.
No, but I'd rather trade everyone instead of McDavid. Like, but I mean, they haven't got a goalie ever. They haven't done that.
Yeah, and that's the biggest piece. Okay, Mike, sorry. I'll say no to that and give me a goalie and then I'll say yes.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was just looking
instead at. Instead of the B-list prospect.
Well, I mean, they got goalies, though.
Give
they
me
got goalies,
Georgiev
too.
Instead.
Yeah. So, I mean, then it looks a lot sweeter.
I feel like
but
the
I don't
Georgiev
know.
Portion is just going to be like Cam Talbot all over again from the Rangers to the Oilers.
Like, who are...
Cam Talbot had, like, 30 wins 1 year.
Has McDavid ever had a goalie, though? No. Like Cam Talbot, not that's really. The number one. That's what he's got. Yeah, fucking brutal, man. Nico, like, give Koskinen. Him, you think they look at Leafs guy Anderson? I was thinking about that today.
I think they crash hard at him this offseason. I think you have to. I think they have to go, like, they went hard at Markstrom this offseason. Yeah. I think they have to go hard at a goalie this year.
Yeah.
They signed Ilya Kolvanov or whatever. I don't know. He's a KHL goalie.
Like you were announcing his name. Ilya Kolvanov.
he just takes his skate behind Tay. He's just letting me go ahead.
Young guy.
KHL guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Kono 22.
Konovalov? I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Konovalov or whatever. Konovalov,
yeah.
22. Played in the KHL for the Lokomotiv.
Choo choo.
And 19 games played, 2.29 goals against, and a 9.23 save percentage. So, like, this respectable numbers.
Pretty good KHL numbers, yeah.
Yeah. Year before that, he played 40 games with a 2.45 goals against and a 9.12 save percentage. So, and he's been in the KHL for the last 3 years. I don't know. It's something to look out for sure. If he can come in and steal that starting job, there's nobody in front of him. Fuck Koskinen. No. Fuck Mike Smith. The kid's 22. Like, he's got a shot for sure. So,
yeah, but you know what?
As a long shot, anyways.
If they could somehow get a great goalie, with McDavid. Then, like, I mean, then I'd probably think about, then I'd really think about trading him. But I honestly don't think that team's ever had a fighting chance with a goaltender. Like, not even close. I've been saying about my Flames forever, because they haven't either. Go ahead.
Yeah. You mean, if they get a goalie and they have a year and they don't do anything?
And it's still shit, then I would really consider. Because I don't think McDavid's ever had that. And, like, we still see what he does. Like, the only reason they made the playoffs this year is because he's an absolute animal. Got 70 something assists in like 52 games or whatever. Like, he's fucked. So,
yeah.
So, but he just needs a backstop. He literally needs to score like 6 goals just to win like games against Canadian teams.
6-5,
like,
yeah.
Dude, fuck me. Yeah. So, I don't know.
I think one of the bright sides with the Oilers right now is everybody's up for a contract renewal this year. So, they could be icing a very different team next year. And I think they have at least a bit of defensive structure. Like, they could start right now coming back. They could have Nurse, Chris Russell, Ethan Bear, Broberg, Bouchard, and Klefbom as their starting six, which is not great. But I mean,
it's not great, but it's a whole lot better than it has been.
It gives some young guys a bit of chance, and they have a lot of their depth forwards coming up for renewal as well. So as long as they don't do the Jim Benning route and give fourth liners $3 million a year, which they started with Zach Cassian.
Was that a Ken Holland deal?
That is a Ken Holland deal.
Yikes.
There's a lot of good UFAs this year. Like, you think the McDavid effect that I was talking about earlier, like, do you think people just want to come play? But I mean, like, the Oilers look so shit. If the whole team was different, like, even if they just started with like one or two big pieces hit the media, I think a lot of guys would be like licking their chomps. Like, I don't know, could I fit in there? And like, could I win with him? Like, the team, you know, could we do it? Because I know everybody wants a shot at the cup, obviously, and McDavid's a good shot. Yeah, he's always a shot.
Do you look at it and say, God, even with McDavid, the Oilers are horrific, so I don't really want to go there?
Not if they got somebody nuts. Like, not if they signed someone nuts off the hop. Like, but I mean, like, Rask. What if they got Tuukka Rask, first thing?
Yeah.
Like, what if, you know? What if it happened?
It definitely helps. I don't know.
I could see it. I think they got a decent chance with you saying how many guys are coming up. I mean, there's a real possibility.
Cole Caulfield is fucking disgusting. He went like end to end on a power play, deked through all four guys, and just fanned on a, like, basically a breakaway.
Am I done with the Oilers?
Yeah, I think so. I think I got one note left for Canada. It's not about any of the playoffs teams, but it's a classic Jim Benning quote. So Jim Benning had his year-end press conference. He gets the boat of confidence from the ownership for whatever reason, that he's coming back next year. We'll see if he actually does come back, because, you know, that saying they'll come back and actually coming back has not always been the exact same. But as of right now, he's got the nod of coming back. And, you know, Canucks market is not too happy about that. They had a fire bending rally at the arena last night or a couple nights ago.
Hell yeah.
So that was classic. But just a standout quote from Jim Benning at his presser. And I quote, I really believe we do have a lot of pieces in place that when we will finally win the cup, that, you know, that are in place right now. What? And if that makes 0% sense to you, that's, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really believe we do have a lot of pieces in place that when we finally win the cup, you know, that are in place right now.
Guy's a clown. Yeah,
this guy is brutal, man.
He keeps talking about his off-season plan is to, you know, aggressively explore the free agent market and he's got to get some pieces in to make the playoffs. And that, I think his whole idea is the entire problem. Like the idea is not to make the playoffs. The idea to win is to win the cup. You shouldn't be having a 1-year outlook to make the playoffs. If you're doing that, you're automatically got it wrong.
Yeah.
Yep.
And but you know what though?
Signing depth guys that could contribute defensively, maybe a little bit offensively, to huge contracts because he wants to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense, man.
If I'm an agent for a depth player, I'm calling Vancouver July 1st, or I guess it'll be maybe different this year, but. I'm talking to the Canucks instantly. If you want to overpay me by $3 million, I'm ecstatic.
I would love to take a 6x6 from you, Jim. Thank exactly. you so much. I appreciate it.
I did have 30 points one season, so yes, I deserve it. You know, like, God.
I played for the Peninsula Panthers Junior B team. Yeah. Please, I'll be your third string.
Yeah.
6x6.
I do think that's more of a thing in Canada, though. Like, they sweat hockey so much in the fan bases. Put on so much pressure that I think when the GMs aren't in the playoffs, it's like they, I think they fucking, I could see them worrying a ton. Like, you know, if we make the playoffs, at least they're off our ass. Like, so I could see that being the mentality. Maybe, but I mean, I know it's not right, but go ahead.
I think they just take the Vancouver market as a bunch of idiots. And like, I honestly think they don't give their fans enough, like, I think they look down on them so much that it's just like, oh, if we just give them a spout of bullshit that they'll just blindlessly believe in this team, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they know, like, people can see right through it right now, and everybody, like, I mean, I think it's going to hurt the ownership. Where it's going to hurt them the most is their wallets. Once fans actually come back in, they're going to realize there's no willingness to go watch this team play because they... As a fan, even if your team's in the bottom, you want to have an outlook and a bright spot to look at to see, you know what, in a couple of years, I see what they're building.
Yeah.
You know, and the Canucks just don't have that. And I'm pretty sure everybody in the world can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
And they, you know what, they did, too. They had Pettersson, they had Quinn Hughes come in. We were like, oh, shit, like, look at this. And then fucking Tyler Myers. Like, what? What are you doing? I don't get it.
Anyways. It's like, I'll find the tweet. Like, I put out, like, the Canucks have missed the playoffs 6 of the last 7 years.
Ouch.
The only year that Benning's made the playoffs was his first year when he basically incorporated a dynasty of a team, basically on the end of it. And then last year when there was... 30 teams that made the playoffs, essentially. They are going to finish bottom 10 in 5 of the last 6 years. They have really no prospects coming up. And they're at the cap with Pettersson and Hughes coming off 3 ELCs. Like, that is not where you want to be.
That's a fucking nightmare, yeah.
As soon as Pettersson and Hughes both kind of broke out, the first thing that they should have done was allocate money to ensure both of them can be signed.
Yep.
Like, that should have been number one priority. That is the future of your team. That is the whole reason anybody is coming to the rink to watch you guys play. Why would you not make sure you had money so that they would come back and play for your team? Like,
well, I mean, we got to lock down Tyler Myers though. Come on, we need that guy.
Yeah.
That guy's their fucking, he's a rock.
Like, they have $14 million in cap space going into this season, into next season, with those two big guys. Edler's coming up for a renewal, Sutter is probably going to walk. VC can walk. But, I mean, are they actually going to walk? Probably not. Jim Benning's going to give him 5 years.
No, Benning will sign him to $3 million deals.
Yeah, big negotiation day. Just fucking caves.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, honestly. I feel bad for Canucks fans. Like, they've gone through a lot.
And the players. I feel bad for them, too.
I feel like the players are just, like... I feel like it's sad because it makes it, like, a place that players obviously don't want to play. Or, like, it's gotta come to that eventually if it's not already there. And, like, I think that's sad. I think that's, like, that's when it's really sad. Like, when you know your own team doesn't want to be there. I mean, sometimes I think it with Johnny Hockey all the time. I'm like, fuck, I don't even think he wants to play here anymore. And, like, it's not a really good feeling. I think a bunch of that might be a thing there, too. So it's just sad to see that happen in Canadian cities. It was a thing in Toronto for a long time. Like, it's not good to watch. Like, it's sad because we really care, right?
Yeah.
It's the players that aren't making the $6 million a year when they should be making $500,000 a year that don't want to play there. All the players that are making a shitload of money when they really shouldn't be are ecstatic.
True.
And yeah, there was reports that there's going to be a lot of players requesting trades out of there. Like, one of them was being JT Miller. And I mean, how can you blame him?
That would suck. Like,
yeah. Fuck, I think he said to the press, though, that he didn't want to go anywhere, right?
Well, yes. He did. Okay. But, I mean...
You don't believe him.
I would say that, too. Right?
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
If you're coming back, you don't want to alienate that.
Yeah. True. The John Tavares.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. He just pieces the fuck out.
Or if he's like, yeah, I didn't request a trade. It's because my agent submitted it in, kind of thing.
Right.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
My agent didn't think it was best for my career to stay here. So.
Yeah. But I mean, decided to like, Jim Benning's final moment should have been, instead of trading Tanner Pearson at the deadline, he re-signs him to 3 years, $10 million.
Yeah, you should have fired him on the spot.
That moment, he's delusional.
Honestly, when they gave Louis Erickson the contract, 6x6, they should have fired him then.
That's my favorite.
Like 5 years ago, but
at least I understand it. He was still decent at the time.
He could play, but he was like half of that money, maybe.
I guess Kyle Okposo also made 6x6
that year. Yeah, that entire offseason was just a bunch of guys who just fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not then. Maybe Tyler Myers.
The Tyler Myers deal was brutal.
You kind of look at it and you go, man, like, what are you doing? And
deal, then, yeah, deal signed, and then you, like, 5 minutes later, you know it's a bad deal. Like, there was nothing in the market that said he should have made that.
No.
And, I mean, it shows. I think that's enough on the Canucks.
Yeah, please.
We have a couple more here. Series and
Tampa the game here. Starts.
Yeah, where's your next, Tampa?
Let's.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tampa,
let's do it.
I mean,
you want to take away today? Who's going to start this one?
Fuck, man. It has been so good. It has been the best hockey I've watched in years. Just like the rivalry that's brewing out of Florida is like so exciting, so much fun. Such a fast pace, back and forth and back and forth. Fucking. Welcome back, Nikita Kucherov. He's got 9 points in 4 games. Like, how are you? It's so fun to watch, man. And really, like, I forgot how much Kucherov did for that team. Their power play was horrible this year. Like, not even close to where it was last year. And they are just, like, on fire. I think they're sitting at, like, 75% overall in the series. On like for the power play, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
like that's just unheard of. Yeah. But yeah, man, it's so refreshing just to watch like a fully healthy Tampa Bay Lightning. They got Stamkos is good. Fucking their third line is the only one that's not intact, and Barkley Goodrow's hurt, but Ross Colton has kind of come in and stepped up and is playing unbelievable with that line. So it's just so fun, man. Like they just are firing on all cylinders. Even like the games, Vasi has a rough one. He puts up like a 4 spot or a 5 spot. Fucking Tampa puts up 5 goals in there, going to overtime. Or they fucking like whatever, right?
Bobrovsky plays worse and gives up 7.
Yeah, exactly. The one loss was a tough loss, but you know what? Like they're just dominating. They're dominating in the scoring column, and really, you could just shows that they're much, much better at like capitalizing on their chances. Florida's expected goals has been like through the roof comparatively, and really, if it weren't for Vasilevsky, well, if it weren't for the goaltending aspect, like this series would probably be tied 2-2, if not 3-1 Florida. Like they've been kind of all over Tampa, mm-hmm. but because the goaltending is the way it is, Vasi is just a monster. And Bob's not great. Driedger didn't play. He played okay in the second game, but like kind of fell apart after that.
They got to play Spencer Knight game 5.
Yeah. I think he is starting tonight. He was in the starter's net for their pregame skate. So, that's good. Exciting. I don't know. It's been so fun.
Yeah.
So exciting. Electric hockey. Mm-hmm. And the fans are fucking nuts.
Yeah. I mean, both barns are rocking it. It's been great. They didn't have Florida fans didn't have a crazy amount of support on the, I think it was their second game at home, 'cause they were kind of down quickly, but yeah, the Tampa fans have been going nuts. Yeah, just the things that they're pulling off, especially on the power play. It's just Kucherov magic is back. He never lost it somehow after playing for a full year. And man, it's been fun to watch. Those games have been, besides about 20 minutes, I think in game 4, the hits have been just coming hard and fast. And it's been great hockey. It's surprising those teams haven't played in the playoffs with the way that they're playing against each other.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's crazy. Like it's been like what 27 years or something, and they've never met in the playoffs. I mean, one team was really good.
Never in the playoffs.
Never been in the playoffs, but it just like it seems like there should be a rivalry there, and there really has never been. Yeah. And like now there is, and moving forward there will always be because these teams fucking hate each other.
It's mm-hmm. great. It's also nice to see like Tampa Bay is like you know. They did the whole build. They've like done all their years. They had their hurt years. They had their like unreal year, their Golden State Warriors record year. Like they've done it all, right? And like the Panthers always been pretty bad. But they've taken all these steps, kind of like Tampa did. They're like just way behind in the evolution of making their team great, or like you know being the Tampa Bay level. Mm-hmm. Like what you say, 76% on the power play, something like that. Yeah, like disgusting. Yeah,
something.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my favorite thing about watching that team is like it's just like so automatic when they go in the power play, like it just doesn't look fair, and it's like a secret weapon in itself. It's like if they get there and they play with such grit, they got so many players that break out all the time, and yeah, they're a fucking fun team to watch. But I do feel like the Panthers are kind of following, they're kind of doing what Tampa Bay has been doing for years, and they're slowly getting there. They got a bit of the injury bug this year with Ekblad being gone, and. It's really exciting to see this kind of start forming in front of us because yeah, this rivalry will be good for years. Pardon me.
Yeah,
46.7 is the exact number for power play.
Is it? Oh yeah. Well, still it looks like
65% in game 1. So
oh, there you go.
Can I bring it back to actually? I'll do it after the series. Never mind.
Sure.
Okay. Well, Spencer Knight is confirmed starting.
Let's go. Tonight. Yeah. I mean, there's no downside to it, right? Like no. Bobrovsky hasn't given you really at all besides. The comeback in game 3, right? Is it game 3 they won?
Yeah.
He came into the third period in overtime, played great. But, like, other than that, he hasn't given you what you need. Driedger's a UFA, so, like, even if he was giving you everything, it would be great to play, but he hasn't done anything. So there's no reason to give another shot. Give the kid a chance. Like,
yeah.
The worst thing that happens, it's a loss, and you probably would have lost with any goalie anyways in the net. So,
yeah.
Man, if he can steal one or even two and get them back in this a little bit, just get a little bit of shadow of doubt in the Lightning shooters, like that's what you need. Like they're playing right now, like every shot's gonna go in the net. Like you need to stifle it a little bit, even just get the doubt in their head a little bit and just try and get that to snowball. And play without any nerves. You're down 3-1, like just come back and try and just get one game at a time. And yeah, Spencer Knight needs to play.
Spencer's looked great too this year, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like no. Yeah. Right. So yeah, absolutely. Give him a game. Fuck it.
Yeah.
And like, wouldn't that be the story, man? If they could rally behind him. Holy fuck.
He is, Ty.
Sorry.
Oh yeah. Did you hear that he is starting for sure?
Yeah, 100% yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's dope. I'm excited.
A couple things I wanted to touch on. I think game four, the refs kind of lost control of the game. Both Sergachev and Kucherov were hurt. The one, it's again, it's another player safety issue that I have. And Kucherov left the game. He had the puck in his own zone. He's kind of coming up from behind the net. He like passed it up and Duclair skates around. Wow, that's a huge save from Price. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Sorry.
It's all good.
Yeah, so Kucherov, he's coming out on the hash marks, like fires the puck up ice, and it's just kind of skating. And then Duclair kind of swings by him and slashes him on the back of the leg or like the side of the leg. Kuch goes down, like in pain, visibly like rocking back and forth, like holding his knee. Not a great look. Had no idea if he was going to play tonight. Like, he was skating this morning, but, like, we had no idea. He's in the lineup, and he's taking pregame skate, which is great. But nothing for Duclair. No fine, no, like, nothing at all. And it was a blatant, like, slash to the leg, hurt the guy. So, I don't know. It was bizarre to me.
Like, fucked. Yeah, if that happened when, say, Duclair was, like, chasing him down the ice, and Kucherov has the puck.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, you know, guys are hacking all the time. Like, that's
totally,
that is not a problem. But Kucherov had played the puck. He's standing in his own corner 5 seconds after passing the puck. Yeah. I mean, they're down 4, I think, at the time. Like, they're just going, like, there's no need for that in the game. Like, it's, yes, it's not like the dirtiest play, but that is not something you want in the game. Yeah. That is,
it's an illegal slash on a defenseless guy who does not have the puck and is not even looking at you because he hasn't had the puck for... So that's very dangerous and malicious. And yes. I mean, it's on their best player. So I also could call it headhunting quite easily. So yeah, sure. I find this bad all around. It looks so bad for Duclair, a player I kind of like. So I kind of like him a lot less right now. But yeah, this one doesn't really make any sense to me. Like, it's like, this makes Bennett's look like nothing. You know what I mean? And they're both terrible, but really, like, this is like not even hockey. That's just
when I say it was not the most dangerous play, I mean as in like you're not taking a dude's head off and like could end his career kind of thing. It's a very dangerously unnecessarily play.
In a word, it looks could come across as a soft like penalty to some people because it just looks like walks over and hacks him like you see all the time, right? But really, when you're that defenseless, you're not even looking, and the guy drops like that.
And there's so many things in the back of your knee that are not covered. Yeah. Like, it could hit one of those things, and you don't know. Like, it could look like a dive, but, I mean, maybe it was. But, like, there's so many, like, ligaments and everything that if you just, like, tweak a nerve with that hit, like, you're going to be searing pain, shock, like, going all the way up your body.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, this was a brutal one. And he got no discipline, eh?
Nothing.
No.
That is crazy. Do we got to do something about this shit? About these fucking... Save, yeah, right?
We Fire Perros. Fucking let's get it going. Fire Perros.
I'm actually pretty convinced. Like, this has been a bit of a shit show, dude. Like, I'm just kind of sick of it. Like, the way this whole year's gone, and like, it's getting a little out of hand. I feel like it always used to be the refs I was hating, and now it's like, I don't know what any of these fucking player safety calls are. Sorry to cut you off.
Man, that's okay. And like, first of all, with the Duclair thing, like, it's just unnecessary, and that's the biggest part. Like, if you just leave it, it's fine. Nothing happens. Like, there's no point in you going over and slashing him, except maybe you want to hurt him. But to your player safety point, like, and the refs and whatever, the refs have such a hard job because they're in the middle of this high adrenaline, high intensity game where they have to like make decisions on the fly that can like predict or like that manipulate the outcome of the game, right? Like, if you put Tampa Bay on the power play for something that they shouldn't be on the power play for, but you thought you saw something, like that's a problem, and that could like sway the series or win the game or whatever, right? And they really have no time to make that decision. Like, it's really spur of the moment. Whereas fucking George Perros and the player safety team can sit down and look at these plays over and over and over and over again. They have all the time in the world to make that decision, and they're still getting it wrong consistently. If it's one call, maybe, okay, yeah, sure, that's fine. I get it. Like, the Tom Wilson thing, I was like, okay, that's pretty shitty, but at the same time, like, whatever, it's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the reasoning they came out with it was okay. It's just continually happening, and it's bad, man. Like, people are getting hurt, and there's nothing happening. And then fucking Nazem Kadri is now missing an entire playoff series because of one hit that you decided to call properly. Like, I just really don't get it. Like, it makes no sense to me.
There's no...
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, there's no...
It's getting there.
There's no consistency between everything. Yeah. But there's, like, it's almost, like, hard to even make sense of, like, any decision that they make. Now, we've heard a lot of, especially coaches, being upset with the reffing in these series. I think a portion of that is they're trying to get more calls for their team. A little bit, even like one extra power play in the game can make a difference. True. So it's like, you know what, let's just bring out this one point about this one play that, you know, should have gone our way kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had too big a problem with the overall reffing. I think, especially when you're looking at refs, yes, they're going to miss calls. They're refs. They're totally. They're two dudes on an ice looking at the ice without the bird's eye view that we get in real time, where we're not looking at slow motion. And I mean, if they're going to miss a call, they're most likely going to miss a call on the other team as well.
Yeah. And you know,
like the makeup calls happen. Sorry, Tom, I'm just going to finish.
No, go ahead, please.
Like, makeup calls are going to happen. You're going to see a weak call. The refs are going to see it on the Jumbotron, and then the slightest little thing is going to happen, and boom, their arm goes up to give another one back. The only thing, which I'm not the biggest fans of, obviously, but I understand it from a subconscious point, like,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have called the penalty on this guy, so let's try and make it even.
You can sympathize, yeah.
The only thing is their whistles are in the pockets too much in overtime. I think the refs are too afraid of, we don't want to be an impact in this game. We don't want to have a direct result to the ending of this game by giving a team a power play, but they're almost doing it opposite, where they are impacting the game because they're not calling an obvious penalty. Like, I think they're all, I can't call this guy for a trip or a hook because then that gives the other team a power play and the game ends and it's my fault that the game ended. But no, it's the player's fault. He tripped the dude. He hooked the dude, whatever. And then say that the dude gets tripped and then he's not there on a back check. The team goes down 2-on-1, scores. Like, yes, they'll never call the rules by the exact rule book because there's a lot of opinion and judgment that goes into it. But just putting the whistles in the pocket for the last 10 minutes of a game plus overtime is why we're seeing all these double overtime games and stuff. A 5-on-5 goal will win every single overtime because there's never any power plays called. Yeah. The only ones that get called are blatant ones. Too many men and delay a game, where you cannot argue a guy shot the puck over the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or if it's like a huge hit from behind or something like
exactly, that. Exactly, yeah, like a major penalty kind of thing. Because there was one in the Carolina game. We'll get into that series. That's probably next. But Svechnikov like trips the guy in front of the net, and then Svechnikov has a 2-on-1. It's like, you probably could have called that. I was like, please score. Just cause controversy. Please score. I think he like rings it off the post, and I was like, fuck. But yeah, that would be my only thing. Like, if you're expecting the refs to be perfect, you're not gonna get
hell
that. You're just gonna be disappointed. Consistency is really all they need, and just call a couple penalties in overtime. Like, I understand, if you're a ref in that situation, you don't want to impact it that much, but that's what's gonna happen.
I just feel like in the playoffs in the past and now, of course, like I've seen like years and series where there's way too many penalties, and that's way, way worse, right? I'd rather they let them play way more than they call penalties. I do see what you're saying. You're making a good point. I don't really have a problem with the officiating. I feel like I've seen way, way worse years. Like, it's way more the player safety. Like, I was defending them, like I was defending George like a couple weeks ago, and I got nothing to say anymore. Like, I just don't really want him there anymore, or something. Like, someone's got to get canned because it's a total joke. We could see a crazy penalty tonight, and no one's got any fucking idea what the guy's gonna get. We don't. We're dead wrong every time we call. We're miles off every fucking time we call. And to me, like, it just doesn't make sense. How are we all that off? And then we're all just flabbergasted at what we get. So for me, it's more that. And the refs, man, the best series in playoffs are always the ones where, like, it's such a fine line to be a great ref in the playoffs, because the best series are like Crosby and the Isles, and like they're fucking wrestling behind the play like all the time. Those first couple Florida games, they're battling like outside the play. They're all like tied up and like, and it's like a shit show. Like the puck goes the other way, and these two guys are full on like wrestling each other, and the ref's just like waiting for like the over the line, but he's kind of like trying to let them go because it's fuel, and the crowd's probably going fucking nuts. And if you call yeah. one, you got to call both. Like it's way easier to just have your whistle in your pocket and keep an eye on the play, but. So I kind of prefer it more that way than the other. I do see the overtime thing though. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely want them to play more too. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Totally. To your point about the suspension and like being completely off, like it's not like we don't watch. It's not like we haven't seen previous years. Like I feel like if anybody's going to predict anybody that I know anyways is going to predict a suspension beforehand. Like we do pretty well at it, but my wife, who does not watch hockey at all, has no desire for hockey. I showed her the Tom Wilson thing before he was suspended, and I was like, "Oh, like what do you think? Like how many games would he get, or like do you think he should be suspended?" And she's like, "Fucking why is he even playing hockey? Like why is he in the league?" So there you go. Like there's the whole connect of like, yeah, you gotta give something like that a suspension, and you can't just let it fly by. And I don't know, it's yeah.
They're like goalie interference challenges now. We have no fucking idea what's going to come out of the ref's mouth.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Who knows?
And just one more thing on the whole play. The fact that it's a Kucherov is, like, the craziest part about this one to me. Because, like, it's a gross play, but when you do it to the best guy on the team, like, it's so obvious. Like, you can't, come on. You're not even too into the game. Like, the game was not even in that corner. So, yeah, I just think, yeah. It's the worst person. It's like slapping. It's like high sticking McDavid for no reason, and then skating away and being like, "Oh, what do you mean? It's fucking McDavid. You obviously meant to."
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, that shit has to be taken out. It's too obvious.
We haven't even gotten into the second hit.
Yeah, which one? Sorry,
the Sergachev one.
Sergachev hit. Yeah.
Who hit him again? Was it? I can't even remember.
Marchment.
Was it Marchment?
I don't know. I'm bringing it up now.
I don't know. I'm curious to think what you think.
Patrick Hornquist.
Hornquist, right. I was like, I know what the fucking forward is, but yeah.
The guy they got at the deadline. Oh, my God.
He crushed Sergachev.
Poor kid.
But for me, at least, I don't have a problem with the hit.
I got to see it.
Yeah, I got to see it, too. Hold on.
I think it's just a hard-ass hit. Clean. No head, no nothing. He wasn't facing the boards. He just got thrown in and got, you know, he hit the boards in an awkward angle kind of thing. Like,
oh, sorry. Yeah, that is a good hit. I think it's just a nasty fall.
Yeah, it's just where he hits on the boards, kind of like unfortunate. But
I thought Vetrano was gonna come in and nail him, and I was like, oh my god, he's gonna come head on. But it is, yeah, Hornquist comes kind of straight from the side, doesn't he? He even does a pretty good job of, like, not, you know, like, he tries not to run him over. He, like, really stops after he hits him. It's not like he, like, buries him in the corner like they do like, half the time, right? To staple him after.
I think it was made a little bit worse because of the trajectory of the game. Like, the refs had kind of lost control at that point.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was just, like, a big kerfuffle nice. All the time.
Nice.
So... Yeah, I have nothing against Hornquist for that hit. Like, it was a very clean hit. Well executed. It's really unfortunate the way Sergachev landed. He's okay. He's playing tonight. So
he's playing good.
I'm fine with it. But yeah, I don't know. Those are so scary. Like, when you're 2 feet from the boards and you get, like, launched into them, basically head or back first, like, those are career ending. Like, you could lose. You could be done.
Yeah, definitely not the spot you want to get hit in. That's for sure. No.
Yeah.
Man, just watching this Toronto-Montreal game, like, the definition of a makeup call just got called.
Yeah, the unsportsmanlike.
Unsportsmanlike conduct. Yeah, so Kerfoot gets slew-footed a little bit. The refs don't call it. And delayed offside for the Habs, and Brody goes and gets it. And I'm assuming, since there's no fans, Toffoli most likely heard that there was delayed offside, but... He goes in and hits TJ Brody, like a light hit, and the ref just points and just sends him. He's like, yeah, tees him up. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, it's playoff hockey. Like, that's such a joke of a call, but makeup calls are going to happen. And that's.
Yep.
I hate them, but I understand them from the ref's point of view.
What if the refs, like, yeah. What if they just like doing one early so that if they think they can even it out, they just do one later, but not by the end? That'd be so fucked.
Boys, the Tampa game starts in, like, well, I guess probably, like, 20 minutes,
so yeah.
Never mind. Yeah. Let's crush this next series. We got two.
Well, let's go to the longest series of them all. Carolina Nashville. They've played 48 periods already.
It's that, electric hockey, though.
I mean, if you if you're a Nashville fan, you got your price of your ticket for two straight games. Yeah, you got three for the price of two, basically.
And any Nashville fan's got to be so happy with how they're playing. Like, I think that was the only. Oh no, I had Carolina in five, but like, Carolina's a much better team on paper. Yeah. Anyways, mm-hmm. They performed much better this year. Obviously, Nashville had the late surge, but. You know, I really didn't see anything from Nashville in the playoffs. UC Saros has looked great. Fucking Ryan Johansson has played unbelievable. They really kind of just turned on a different level and are like competing with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, I think we talked about it last week. Or maybe I'm making things up, but I swear we did. We talked about how like Matt Duchene was like, he has all these tools to score so many goals and like looks so good. And he just like doesn't. And then he puts up these OT winners that are like all-time goals. And he does that in double overtime in the third game. The Canes go up 2-0 in the series going back to Nashville. And back-to-back double overtime winners for Nashville. And I think they've lined up Johansson and Duchene on the same line. They found a bit of consistency. And I mean, it's a three-game series now. Like anything can happen. You could say that Nashville doesn't deserve to be in this, but. Boo fucking who, they're in it. It's 2-2.
They certainly do.
Yeah.
They're my number one example of a team that's playing their best hockey with their home crowd. Those guys like don't look like they can't even contain themselves. Like they're all smiles. They're so happy. When they celebrated the overtime win, I watched it twice and that celebration fired me the fuck up. Every time I forgot like how sweet it looks. They all go to the corner, they're all showboating to the fans like immediately. Those guys are so fucking happy playing there. It's crazy. And they play great hockey. Like it's electric in there, just like it is in Carolina, but that's just a notoriously famous arena for just being loud as shit.
Oh yeah. When they were incredible, like everybody talked about how Nashville was like the craziest barn to play in. I mean, Vegas is probably taking that over now, but
yeah. I think Saros had like 63 saves or something last night.
Something crazy. Yeah. It was
something way up stupid. There. Yeah.
Oh my God, Bevilier scored an absolutely incredible goal. And then comes down the wall, cuts in, cuts out, beats somebody. I don't know who 59 is on the Preds, but probably never heard of him. Carrier. And then just goes shelf.
What else from that series, boys? What else you got? Oh, yo, who's that goalie for Carolina again?
Alex Nedeljkovic.
Yeah, he's been playing pretty well, eh?
Yeah, not horrible.
Like, yeah, on and off.
Not bad, but like, he came out of nowhere, right? Yeah, okay. Did he play any during the year? Or just
not he a had lot? 25 games or something like that this year.
Pretty good split.
Basically got all the experience because Mrazek was injured for a long time and Reimer was injured for a bit as well. So he was basically given the net, and I think by doing that, they basically handed the reins over to him next year because Mrazek's a UFA. And I think he's probably good to go.
Sweet. Yeah, no point in paying. You'd rather pay Dougie Hamilton than you would Peter Mrazek. So.
Mrazek to the Oilers.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, probably. Anywho, is it? What else do we got for Nashville and Carolina? I didn't have a ton for that one, just that the barn looks fucked, and I want to be there.
Yeah, Aho looks good. The loss of Jacob Slavin for the Hurricanes is hurting them. He's basically probably their number one defenseman. Him and Dougie are both up there, but they have such a good top four. And, I mean, just losing a top-bearing defenseman, a lot of teams are going to hurt from that, but it'll be interesting to see how they come out in game five. Their fans have really got to get them going. I wonder if Nashville scores an early one, how much that takes out of the building.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be good.
We got a great series. That's for sure. This is if every other series ends quickly, this series is looking great. I had one last stat from the Oilers Jets series that I forgot to say. The Jets are up 3-0. They've only led in the series for 10 minutes and 36 seconds total.
Jesus.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's weird.
They because game one they won 1-0 in overtime. Game three they never had a lead. They came back and won in overtime, and game two they I guess held it for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry, I wanted to correct you quickly, Mike. You said Nashville, right? When you were talking about the Bevilier goal?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Pittsburgh.
So, oh, did I say Nashville? Yeah, I meant to say, okay.
Yeah, it was Jake Guentzel that he, like, absolutely undressed.
Okay, that makes sense.
On Pittsburgh, yeah.
That's why I was, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I was so confused. I was like, 59? I was like, there's no 59. Who's that? I have no idea. And then I was like, oh, shit. And I looked at the goal, and I was like, this is Pittsburgh.
Yes. Anyway.
Last series, Vegas, Minnesota. Or did we talk about Pittsburgh, New York?
We have not talked about Pittsburgh.
We didn't. We still had to get
Christ.
There.
Christ. Okay.
Let's go.
Vegas. Which one do we want to go first? Vegas? Vegas, Minnesota?
Yeah, sure. It's fly on it.
Fucking battle of the goaltending.
Minnesota deserves a lot more better fate than 3-1 down. Vegas really hasn't played. They've played well, but they haven't played.
They're not playing like Vegas.
Domination station like they usually do.
Yeah.
I think they blow them out tonight in game five.
Vegas blows Minnesota out?
Yeah.
I think it's got to be common.
I think they finally get their offensive going. Because Minnesota's played really well. They've had good numbers. And Talbot's held them in a little bit. But he's kind of faltered the last couple games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Vegas doesn't need a lot to beat a team. And I think with Fleury playing the way he is, Talbot has to play so well to even give them a chance. Yeah. And, I mean, he has, but it just hasn't been enough.
This series is kind of classic. Like, it's playoffs. You never know what can happen. Because I'm like, I was amazed that they got one. I was amazed that they kept so many games so close. So, like, you know, I it's not looking good, but I don't really count them out yet.
Yeah.
No, I don't think, especially a team that finished, like, top five or six in the league, I think they probably did. You got to get that fourth win on them because you never know. That leadership in Minnesota, especially not being there in the last few years, they're hungry. So I think with all this weight off their shoulders going into a game five, I think they're really going to bring it, and I think they're going to try and silence the crowd right away.
Yeah.
That's one thing that you can look at as a Minnesota Wild fan. Like, you got to be happy with this, man. Like, they looked rejuvenated. The last few times they've made the playoffs, they were just like the old veteran team struggling to make the playoffs. Like, didn't expect them to make it out of the first round. And this year, it's a whole nother level. It's a Kirill Kaprizov level. He just brought fire to that team. All the young players are stepping up. They kind of finally got like the younger top six forwards to kind of like contribute. And yeah, they look really good. It's unfortunate. I would have loved to see Vegas, Colorado round one, and then Minnesota, St. Louis round one, just to see how Minnesota fared against a team that wasn't Vegas or Colorado.
That tier.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, I also would hate to see Vegas, Colorado, one of them be out after the first round. So, yeah, I don't know. I think just building off this year and all that, it's great for Minnesota. I love it.
Yeah, I think these players know that if they don't before the series, they definitely know now that they're not there yet. But yeah, as a player, as a fan, so much to be excited for in Minnesota, and they're making all the right steps. And the team, I think this year, more than anything, confidence. They think they can win now, and they prove it over and over again. And we'll see more of them soon for sure.
Should be a great game tonight, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they can pull it out.
Beauties. I hope so, too. Just keep tiring down the Vegas team. Isles Penguins. We got game five going on right now. 2-2 in the series. 1-1 in the game after the first. I mean, this series is exactly how I thought it would come out. I have no idea who's going to win the series when it started. I have no idea who's going to win the series after four games. I got no idea who's going to win the series after four games in one period.
Yeah. I like how these games are battles. One game got out of hand really early. Both penalty boxes were just absolutely filled. Or late. God, sorry, it was late in the game. But it's been pretty... I wasn't too interested in this one either. But every time I've tuned in, it's been a great series. And it looks like it might be tight right to the end. So definitely, pardon me, definitely a really good one to watch. Fun to see playoff Crosby.
Any two teams that are playing in a tight matchup will become a rivalry. It doesn't matter who they are. They could have nothing similar about any of their game styles. And it's just as soon as they play against each other, every game's close. And yeah,
true.
It's been great.
For somebody who didn't perform a ton in the regular season, Malkin looks really good being back there, hey?
True.
Yeah, scored again tonight. Too. Yep.
He missed like 20-something games. Like, he missed a lot of the year. But yeah, he looks good now.
Definitely
good for them. And it's funny, these two teams, any night that they're on, it's like it's either an absolute defensive wall or like puck control on the Isles side, or it's just absolute scoring explosions from the Pens. So it's pretty fun to see them like kind of battle it out.
Yeah, they're
all
deep
and low.
The contrast in their playing styles is just, I think it's just stepped up the level of intensity in that series. I think that wraps up this series. I think probably maybe.
I don't really got much else to say. It's tight.
I would love
they're
to,
angry.
I would love to know who's gonna win the series, but like I said, no idea.
Yeah, it'll be whoever plays well in Game 7.
That's what we're all hoping too. This one's destined to go 7, and probably overtime of that as well. They might just never stop. I think that wraps her up for the series right now. We've got some big games tonight, and the rest of the week should be good. But I got a couple of things away from the NHL that I want to bring up.
Okay.
The World Championships have started this week. And oh boy, has it been bad for Canada right now.
Canada, yeah.
I saw that.
They lost their opener to Latvia 2-0. First ever time that Latvia's beaten Canada. And they got shut out. Latvia was partying in the streets. They left flowers and cards on the stairs of the Canadian embassy in Latvia. It was just an all-around good time. Unfortunately, no fans are allowed there, which really sucks. That would have been awesome. They probably would have done like a basketball game and had the crowd like storm the field. They would have climbed the glass 100%. They would have stormed it.
They were in Latvia, right?
They're in Latvia.
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah.
But that hasn't stopped Canada. So Latvia then goes on and beats Kazakhstan in a shootout. And then Kazakhstan beats Finland in a shootout.
Jesus, man.
Holy hell.
Canada then loses to the States, which is fair. I mean, if you're going to lose to Latvia, you're going to lose to the States. Then they lose to Germany as well.
I saw that one.
Christ.
They have three games played. The only team that has the same or less goals for in the tournament is Great Britain. And they both have two goals in three games. Great Britain has two goals in two games.
Dude, that makes me so sad. I've seen hockey over there. It's fucked. Fuck me, there's no glass.
What does this roster look like?
Dude, they're not bad. They have Darcy Kemper in net.
Okay.
Let me check here. Braden Schneider, Bernard Docker, Colin Miller's there, Liam Foudy, Jared Anderson Dolan, Gabe Vilardi, Owen Power's there, Sean Walker, Connor Brown, Aiden Hill, Kemper, Maxime Comtois, Troy Stetcher, Cole Perfetti.
Man, what the hell?
And yeah. So maybe, I can't wait for them to play at Kazakhstan. I don't know, dude. They're fucking... Oh, God. Who's on Germany's roster? They're 3-0 right now.
They got to be good, though. Germany's just been getting deep for a while. I mean, like, they're deep, right? So in these tournaments, I guess we aren't as deep as we used to be.
No Draisaitl, though.
No Draisaitl, no Stützle.
No, I just mean, like, the general pool of German players. We've just seen it elevate. So I just feel like... All the people that aren't in the playoffs are probably pretty decent because just that's the way that they've been going for a long time. A
couple NHLers. Moritz Seider is probably their number one defenseman because he's a stud.
Yeah, he is a stud.
But I mean, like, losing to Latvia and they lost to fucking Kazakhstan. They beat Canada? Like,
Kazakhstan beat Canada? Is that what you're saying?
No. Kazakhstan beat Latvia. But Kazakhstan's still going to play Canada.
Right.
So that'll be fun.
The 2-0 shutout to Latvia is insane. Like, Latvia is just, is like, when you say that, I think, oh yeah, that's the one that Canada stomps every single time you play. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I just
that's usually the team that is 10-0 every time. Anywho, is it?
You have one more note, Mike, or no?
No, I think that's, let me just double check. I think that's...
I got something.
Yeah.
Ooh. Just a quick shout out to old guy Phil Mickelson for the PGA Championship win. The oldest player ever to win a major, so good for him. Congrats to him. He's still got it.
Major wins in four straight decades. Pretty good.
That's like pretty good.
Still got it. That's wicked.
Yeah.
And the crowd was fucking loving it. They had to they basically lost control of the crowd for his March up 18. And it was kind of scary. Some fucking fan jumped on Mickelson's back after he shot his second shot. I was like, okay, we need to back it up a little bit here. Yeah. They lost control of it, but at least it all ended fine. So
I'll be watching that later.
Yeah, some drunk dude, most likely. But yeah, I think that wraps her up. Just in time for a Tampa Bay game, I think.
Yeah, how did that happen? Betcha.
Game 5 is next. It literally says it on the TV.
Dude. All right, well, fellas,
ready to go, fellas. Fucking fired up.
That's Hoosier's panel.
Yeah, if most likely next week will be round 2 predictions included in there. So if any series start before round 2, we'll make our picks before, and then we'll just release them on the podcast. So there's no couple of game tamperings, that's for sure.
I'm sure we will be reassessing the sussies and the player safety next week. See how they did.
Kadri appealed, so we'll see his new one.
Yeah.
All right, stay tuned until next week, Hoosiers.
Right on, Hoosiers. Right. Thanks for listening.
See you, boys.
Go Bolts.
Peace.